Well, we're continuing in the Gospel of Luke. And the last time we were together, we were looking at a parable that Jesus taught, a parable about a sower, seed, and soil. I was brought up on a farm. And one of the things on the farm that I hated, now some things I liked, but some things I hated. One of the things that I hated, that I dreaded, that I didn't look forward to, that I tried to get out of, was picking stones. Now, maybe you don't think about farming, picking stones. Now, you heard about picking potatoes, but picking rocks, why would anybody go picking stones? But why would anybody pick stones? Huh? So you'd have soil left, that's right. And I can tell you that land in Southwest Margaree, especially upland, grows rocks. It's unbelievable. You'd pick the stones, the place would be plowed up, and then you'd think, okay, now I've got a nice bed of soil with hardly any stones in it. And then, you know, maybe 7 or 8 years later, you plow it again, and guess what you get? A fresh crop of rocks. And the testimony is still there. If you go along the sides of all of these old fields, you'll find piles of rock everywhere. Everywhere you go. Now, in Ireland, they must have a lot of rock. Because I know when I was in Ireland, all the fields have stone fences. I guess they had no wood either. But all them stones were picked off of those fields to make those fences. What a lot of work it is to break up soil. Sometimes soil is easy to break up, and sometimes it's difficult to break up. But we're going to look at this parable. Last week we were together, we talked about the seed and the importance of the seed. And we said the seed was what? The Word of God. The seed is the Word of God. And we saw that if you don't have the right kind of seed, then you've got a real problem. And sometimes in our day and age today, even churches have abandoned preaching the Word of God and come up with fanciful ideas. Those fanciful ideas aren't going to change people's lives. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. The Word of God is what pierces on the inside. The Word of God is what can bring change into people's lives. The truth, Jesus said, will set you free. So today, I'm not going to talk about the sower today. Next week, I'm going to talk about the sower. Last week we talked about the seed. Today we're going to talk about the soil. Because as much and as important it is to have the right seed, it's also just as important to have the right soil. It's vital to have the right kind of soil. Because if I got the best seed in the world and I went and put it in a garden that had no lime in it or that was full of rocks or other problems with that soil, I'm still not going to get a crop. And so, as important as it is to go out and sow seed, it is also important that there is receptive soil, the right kind of soil. So as we look at this parable again, I want us to understand something here today, that Jesus is, of course, teaching a parable to teach us something about ourselves and about the human race and about our interaction with God. And so when we find out what the soil is, sometimes that's important for us to consider. You know, as Jesus taught the parable, we're going to read through the parable again here, Luke 8:4. When a great multitude had gathered and they came to him from every city, he spoke by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside. And it was trampled down, and the birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on rock, and as soon as it sprang up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it, and they choked it. But others fell on good ground and sprang up and yielded a crop 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he cried, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Then his disciples asked him, saying, "What does this parable mean?" And he said, "To you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. But to the rest it is given in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. And those by the wayside are those who hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy. But these have no root, and who believe for a while, and in time of temptation fall away. Now the ones that fell among thorns are those who, when they heard, go out and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of life, and they bring no fruit to maturity. But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. Now, we spoke about this last time, that Jesus spoke in parables. And when you think about a parable, there's a reason why he does this. A parable is like a picture. It's kind of like gives you an overall picture of something, isn't it? And I like what Wiersbe says about a parable. A parable is first supposed to be a picture, and then a parable is meant to become a mirror to show you what you're like. And then it becomes a window to show you God and to show you his grace and his mercy. But what happens with people is that some of the people heard his story and all they heard was seed sowing and, you know, yeah, oh yeah, that's all. That's a nice story. I like that story. That's true. Yeah, that's just the way it is at home in my farm. But they didn't inquire any further. They didn't have ears to hear. You know what Jesus, notice what Jesus said? He cried out here at the bottom of Luke 8:8. He said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Do you know that Jesus said that phrase more than any other phrase? He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now, there must be a reason why he said that. When you go to the book of Revelation, he's talking to the seven churches, he uses that phrase almost in every one of the churches. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Well, what does that mean? I've got ears. But you know, you can have ears, not be listening, right? Lots of times, I mean, all my life when I was growing up, I was told that I wasn't listening. I had ears, but I wasn't listening. And Jesus says, if you have ears to hear, then hear, listen. He's saying, you really need to pay attention to this. You really need to understand. You need to listen to what's really being said. And that's why sometimes they spoke in parables. He spoke in parables so that people would inquire further. And that's what the disciples did, right? They asked more, and guess what they got? They got more. But some people, they don't want to listen. They want to hear what they want to hear. Matter of fact, another verse in the Bible says that a lot of people have itching ears, and they go to hear whatever they like to hear. But that doesn't change the truth, friends. And that's why it's so vital and so important. If you got ears today, listen with those ears. Hear what God has to say. Because this is very important. My grandfather, he had never read a Bible. He was a hard-working man, worked all his life. He went to church every Sunday, but he had never cracked a Bible in his life. He became very ill near the end of his life. Lost circulation. He had to cut his toe off, then his foot off, and then out of his leg off. And he had to keep cutting until finally he died. And so for almost a year, he was bedridden. And his daughter gave him a Bible to read. And he read the Bible, first time in his life. And he made a statement after the end of reading that Bible. This is kind of a startling statement. He said, there's an awful lot of people who think they're going to heaven that aren't going to be there. That's quite a statement to make, isn't it? He realized that, whoa, the door is what? Narrow. He realized that it's, you know, everybody dies as they go to the funeral. Oh, they was a good man. They're better off. But that may not be true. And I don't want to be a killjoy in anything. But the truth will set us free. There's no point in deceiving ourselves in any way. And so when we read the story of the sower and the seed, it's a very important story because it points out some of the ways that people respond to the Bible and the Word of God. And it points out how some people's reaction to it, they think maybe, oh yeah, I'm going to be all right because I did something or said something. But when we read the actual story here, we discover, whoa, you know, God takes very seriously sowing seed. And he expects a harvest from that. And so that's what we're going to look at as we look at the different types of soil. So when we look at the first type of soil here, as the sower goes out to sow his seed, it says the first type, some fell by the wayside, and it was trampled down, and the birds of the air devoured it. So here's this seed that falls down on the path. That's really what it is, the wayside is. And so in the East, when they had farms, there was people had different fields, right? And in the process of those fields, some of the fields, there was always a path between each field. And that would be well trampled down. And the seed hits that soil, and what happens to it? Well, let's see what Jesus likens this to. Luke 8:12. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear. So now suddenly we discover what the soil is. What then is the soil? People, right? It's our hearts. And we find it's our hearts because a little bit later at the bottom it says here, the ones who fell on good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good, what? Heart. Keep it. And so the soil is like the hearts of us. And it says here that this seed, the word, is being planted into the hearts of people. You are the soil. And the good question to ask yourself today is, what kind of soil am I? What kind of soil am I? Because Jesus is giving a story here to teach us something about us. This is now, the parable is no longer just a picture. Now it's become a mirror and begins to speak and to reveal, well, who am I? What soil do I have? And we see that what happens here with the first kind of soil, the wayside soil, the pathway soil, is that the seed hits that soil, and what happens to it? Does it penetrate? No, it doesn't even penetrate. There is an indifference to it. There is an absolute indifference to that seed because it can't penetrate such a hard heart. That hard heart has nothing, wants nothing to do with it. And as a result of that, the birds can come and grab it away. And so he says, those by the wayside are the ones who hear, but the devil comes and takes the word out of their hearts lest they should believe and be saved. There are people who are hearing it, but they're not hearing it. And before there's a chance for that seed to have any opportunity to go into that soil, poof, it's gone. The devil distracts them. The devil gets them off on something else. It might be good. It might be fun. But there is no serious consideration of the truth of the Word of God. And it just bounces right off of their lives. Does that happen? Sadly, it often does, doesn't it? It often happens. Even people who sat under something, it's amazing sometimes. Somebody could sit under preaching for years, and it's amazing to me because then all of a sudden they'll come alive. They'll wake up. And they'll tell me, I never heard that before. And I'll say, I've been telling you that for 20 years. I never heard it. Why? Because their hearts were hard. Because the soil was so hard, packed soil. We're going to talk about that different types of soil and what needs to happen then as a result of that. But first I want to go through the different types of soil and the reaction to the Word of God, the different types of hearts. And I want to encourage you today, if His Word of God is just bouncing off on you, you need to stop and you need to cry out to God, Lord, change my heart. Lord, do something with my soil. Don't let the word just bounce off of me. And the second type of soil is the type of soil where it's rocky, shallow rooted. Some fell on the rock, Luke 8:6. And as soon as it sprang up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. So here the word is sown and it goes into the heart, and all of a sudden there's this, oh yeah, this is great. This is just what I want, right? And that's what it says here when it speaks about the seed falling on the rock. But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with what? With joy. But the problem is they have no root. They believe for a while, and in time of temptation, they fall away. Now, you might start to say, well, that means that they lose their salvation. No, that doesn't mean that at all. Because there was something wrong with the soil from the beginning. True conversion means true change. But this is external change, not internal. You see, this was a seed that hit soil and only grew up. It never grew where? Never grew down. It couldn't grow down. And the reason why it couldn't grow down is because this was shallow. It's because there was no root, and there was no ability to have any root because there was nothing for the word to take root in that life. You see, there's a lot of people who like to try different things. Oh, I'll try that. And so they'll try that. And then as long as they feel good about it, as long as everything's going exactly the way they want, yeah, I'm all for this. This is good. This is just what I want. And then as soon as something else comes along, and that seems a little more exciting for the moment, drop that and run with this. And so they have no root. It's a shallow, emotional, short-term experience that's not based on the reality of the truth being sunk into their hearts at all. It's an outward, but not an inward. That's a tragedy, isn't it? There are people like this. Or Jesus wouldn't be telling us that. And there's a warning here that not all who profess to be a Christian are truly possessing Christ. And so there's the second type of soil. And we see the results of it is that that plant can't survive. You know, that plant was doomed from the beginning, wasn't it? It wasn't all that plant has a fight, had no fighting chance at all because there was no soil. Because it was just rocks. And you can't grow crops on rocks. You just can't. So something had to happen deeper than that. And that's why it's important. Sometimes churches can say, well, you just got to receive Christ as your Savior. Just say this prayer and you'll be saved. That's not true. Not just say a prayer and you'll be saved. The Bible speaks of two things when it comes to being saved. Do you know what they are? The whole counsel of God. It is this, repentance towards God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. That is, Jesus said, unless a man is willing to forsake all that he has, he cannot be my disciple. That is, God's calling us to a life where he takes over. Where he takes over all of our lives. Not just a little external, you know, fluffy outward expression. But a reality that goes deep into the heart of the person. Now, the third type of soil that Jesus speaks of is the one that fell among the thorns. And those, when they heard, go out and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of life and bring no fruit to maturity. So this third one, it's not that there isn't some soil there, but and it's not full of rocks now. It's not what's under the ground, but it's what's above the ground. It's what's in the ground. The soil might have the right qualities, but the problem is that everything else is thrown in there. All this other stuff is full of clutter. And so it's, well, I'll have Christ, but I'll have this. I'll take Jesus, but I have my own agendas. I have my own time. I'll do my own thing, and I'll take Jesus along with me. Now, I want you to know something, that these three types of soil that we've mentioned so far are three types of soil that picture three types of people that never get to heaven, that are never saved unless there's been a change at some later point. That's important to understand. And that's pretty amazing when you think of 75% of the seed sown, if you took it to 25%. Now, the sower, I don't think, deliberately goes out and tries to throw his soil on the pathway. But the Bible tells us to go out and share the gospel with everyone, doesn't it? Next week, we're going to talk about the sower and our responsibility as a sower and how do we go out and sow. We're going to look at those some verses to do with that. But today we're talking about the soil and the soil receiving that seed and how vitally important that the seed falls on good soil. So when we consider this, something then needs to happen previous to the seed going in the ground. When a gardener is going to sow his seed in the spring of the year, he doesn't just walk out, go over to where the garden is, and just throw seed in it. What does he do? He prepares the soil. He prepares the soil. And that is important, and it's important for me as I share the Word of God, that hearts are being prepared. That soil is being tilled up. Because we live in a world where there's lots of hard soil. Now look in the Old Testament at a couple of verses here in Jeremiah 4:3. For thus says the Lord, the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground and do not sow among thorns. Now fallow ground is unplowed ground. And he's speaking about, he's not talking here about, you know, farmland. He's talking about the heart. He says, sow for yourselves righteousness, Hosea 10:12. Reap in mercy. Break up your unplowed or fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he comes and rains righteousness on you. And so there is a sense that not only in this whole idea of sowing and reaping, there is this sense of soil preparation that's part and part of sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And sometimes what has to happen is that your heart needs to be broken. And sometimes God does just that. Psalm 51:17 says, the sacrifice of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. God prepares the heart. And God prepares the heart through many circumstances. People don't just come to Christ la-di-da. People come to Christ because something has happened. Brokenness has taken place. A realization of who they are. An understanding that they're sinners. And the Word of God is actually, the interesting thing is that the Word of God is what God often uses. The Bible says your Word is like a hammer that breaks the rock in two. The Word of God is often used to break that up. To break up the ground. And God can use that in marvelous ways to do that very thing. To open up our minds and our hearts and our souls. And so often it is the broken ones. It is often the ruined ones. It is often the down and out ones that come to Christ. It is not often that it's the most religious ones that come to Jesus. And the reason why is because their hearts have never been broken. The reason why is that pride has taken over. Self-sufficiency. I'm good enough just as I am. If you think you're good enough just as you are, why should you need to be saved? Why should you need the Word of God to come and be planted into your heart? You don't really need it. You're okay just the way you are. And you will go to hell believing that. That's the sad reality. But God has sent His Son, Jesus Christ, into the world to die on a cross for our what? Our sins. Because our sins cause the problem. And that we need to begin to see these truths, and God breaks our hearts. He allows us to become broken. He allows hard circumstances to come into our lives. He allows us to come to a place where we have to find out the truth. We want to know the truth. And we will go beyond just hearing the words being spoken. We will come and say, what does that mean? Like the disciples did. And then we will go deeper. And hallelujah, we will find salvation because our hearts will be broken up and prepared. You see what Ezekiel 36:26 says? I will give you a new heart and I'll put a new spirit in you. That's what he says. I'll take the heart of stone out of your flesh and I'll give you a heart of flesh. This is what God does. When the soil is prepared for the seed of the Word of God. Hard circumstances sometimes, difficult trials in our lives, places where we realize, I can't go on. I just can't do this. I can't. It's not possible. I need someone. And praise the Lord that God breaks up hard ground, breaks up hard hearts, prepares that soil, so that the seed of the word falls into soil that's ready to receive it, and it grows up and it bears fruit. That's what salvation is. Only the fourth one here is salvation. The other ones are not. The other ones are fake. The other ones are like, you believe in God? Oh yeah, you want a prize for believing in God? You think you're going to get to heaven because you believe there's a God? The devil believes and he trembles. So, the other ones are only external. Only this one is truly internal. So when we look at those three different types of soil, we see pictures of people who just couldn't care less, don't want to hear the Word of God. We see others who say, yeah, I'll take that, but not deep, not real, not genuine. And we see others says, yeah, I'll take that, but I want to have everything else along with it. God says, no way. God says, no way. You want me? You got to have me. I'm everything. You surrender your whole life to me. If you don't, your external religion will not get you into heaven. your external religion will put you in hell at the end of the day. Now, God doesn't want that. God's passion and desire is that we be good soil. But it does come down to the soil, doesn't it? The right kind of soil produces fruit. The wrong kind of soil doesn't. So what would I do with this? Well, personally, if I wasn't a Christian, I would say, oh God, break my heart. I would say, oh God, take everything out that you want. Lord, let me receive Christ without any conditions here. Let me receive him as my own Savior and my Lord. I would, and if I'm preaching the gospel, then I am also aware that some people are just not going to be ready. And that's often been the case, you know. Some people aren't ready. They're so far away from the truth, they can't even hear it. The devil's taking the word away from them. So what can I do to help break up the heart, the soil of people? I can pray for them. I can lift them up to God. I can share with them. I can love them. I can be there for them. And I can pray to God, you do whatever it takes to break up that fallow ground, that unplowed ground of that hard heart. Do whatever needs to be done so that the seed will find a place, a root, and a place there. And I'll tell you something too. There's also, we must look at this in this respect too. Be careful, even as a believer, don't be hard. Don't be indifferent to the word of God. Be careful, even as a believer. Don't be shallow. Go deep in the things of God. And be careful, even as a believer. Don't allow the cares of this world to choke out the word of God in your life, in your experience. Because for salvation, absolutely vital. But also for the fullness of Christian living, don't miss these things. Apply this to your own soul in this way. So that you will not be unfruitful, but bear fruit and much fruit for God. In the Gospel of Matthew, it says, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. Well, I don't know if y'all were you, but if you were going to plant seed, which would you prefer to get back? 30, 60, or 100? Huh? We'll go for the 100, right? That's right. Well, you should want the 100-fold. You should look for the 100-fold in your experience. Yes, you can bear fruit, but it might only be 30-fold, and there might be reasons for that, because you're not allowing the Lord to till the soil of your heart to his fullest degree. Now, praise the Lord, 30 is better than none. Because if there's none, here's the truth of it. If there's no fruit, then there's no root. If there's no fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, and self-control, then there's no salvation. There's no Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit produces fruit. The Holy Spirit produces real change in our lives. And if someone professes to be saved, and sometimes, you know, people say, you know, I accepted Christ 35 years ago, and yet there's never been a change. No desire for God, no desire to walk with God. They're fooling themselves. They're like that seed that fell on the wrong kind of soil. Because when God comes in, there's going to be change. Isn't that true? When the Lord of glory actually comes inside of you, it's going to produce change. If it doesn't produce change, something's wrong. So, let me encourage you, make sure that you have Jesus Christ. Don't depend on your goodness, because if you're there, you're likely the path side. Don't depend and think, you know, I'll just take Jesus along with everything else in life and carry on and whatever. Because then you're like that shallow root. There's nothing there. And don't be like the one who thinks I can tack Jesus in with 1,000 other things and he's just one of many. He is exclusively calls himself to be the very Lord of your whole life. That's what he is. That's what he says. He says, if you're not going to forsake all to follow me, you can't be my disciple. People don't like that, those kinds of words. But that's what the Bible teaches. And praise God, his passion and desires to give us a new heart. His desires to bring us to the place that we are the ones that fall on good ground. And having heard the word, with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. It's only the Lord that can give you a good heart. It's a work of God from beginning to end, salvation, friends. God has to be involved in the preparation of the soil. God has to be involved in the sower going to sow. And God has to be involved in the very word of God. Because the Bible says, the word is the sword of the Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit who takes the word and does something with it. But in this parable of the sower, we see warning and yet we see promise. And my desire and passion is not only for the ones that are in this room, but those who may be listening to this message, that we would humble ourselves before God. We would acknowledge we need our ears opened. We need to truly hear the truth because we need to know true freedom. And that our hearts would be tilled by the work of God so that we would be prepared to hear the word of God and allow it to bear fruit in our lives. How vital, how incredibly vital this is. Jesus was not being casual here. He's speaking on eternal matters because your eternal souls hang in the balance. Eternity waits for us all. But praise God, there can be real root and real fruit by putting our hope and our trust in Jesus Christ alone. There is no room for any other kind of seed. Do you notice that? The one soil, there was no room for the seed. The second soil, there was rocks in the seed, right? The third soil, there was thorns and weeds in the seed. But the fourth soil, no room for any other kind of seed. No room for anything but Jesus Christ. My friends, I urge you, make room for Jesus. Exclusively. The rest of it, God will look after. The cares of this world, God will look after. You won't want the rocks anyway. God will take care of those. But find yourself to be good soil by the power and grace of God so that you can bear fruit. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Bible, the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, that you call us, Lord. And that, thank you, Lord, that you call us to receive the word of God with meekness, the Bible says. Receive the engrafted word. We pray, Lord, that you would be gracious. And we pray, oh Father, that as we look next week at being a sower, we ask you to give us wisdom, Lord, in how to sow seed effectively in this world. In Jesus' name, amen.